Proverbs 1:10. Did I say that already?
Yes.
Wished I hadn't now. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That verse reveals a lot, but I'm going to cover two things that it reveals and try to get through it tonight. I want to be brief. I try to be brief. And if I don't have to run up against any stumps, I probably can be brief. But number one, it reveals the foe, which is the enemy of God, the enemy of holiness, and the enemy of righteousness. That's the foe. Number two, it reveals the fight, which is our warfare. And that deals with saved people. If you're here tonight and you're lost, it's a different warfare for you. The voice of the Father speaks unto the children. Once again, he says, my son. So we know it's the Father speaking to the children. With grace and wisdom, he warns the youth of the danger that is out to assail or assault them, him or her. The danger is this. If sinners entice thee, that's the danger. In other words, there are enticers. Sort of like what I did to Carl. And there's enticements. And it goes along with the fowler and his snare. There's two great classes of enticers, and don't miss this. There's two great classes of enticers. One great class of enticers are from within. And the other great enticer you'll find from without. Within your own being is a great enticer. And then everything and everybody in the world can be a outward enticer. First, we'll look at the internal enticer. The enticers from within are man's own thoughts and desires. Your own thoughts and your own desires will entice you. Nobody ever got into trouble without first having a thought and a desire to get into that trouble. There was a thought that preceded the trouble. Our thoughts have wings, ladies and gentlemen, mostly go around unobserved. You can have thoughts and nobody ever knows what you're... They're unobserved. They come from their home, which is in the heart. And they come and they fly around and they return again. You can have a thought and that sucker's just out there, just wandering. And the next thing you know, it comes back to you, that same thought. But this time it's grown some legs, maybe sprouted some wings. I've watched documentaries as men like Jeffrey Dahmer and Jeff Bundy, or Jeffrey Dahmer and Ted Bundy. And one thing I've noticed is that they were very methodical in their killings. They got to kill a lot of people. They were very meticulous and very careful about what they done. What does that tell you? It wasn't very sloppy. It took a lot of thought. They put a lot of thought into what they... There was a lot of time given. And no doubt, listen, no doubt they didn't just think about it and walk up and kill somebody. They thought about it, and those thoughts got to flying around, and then those thoughts came back to them and gave them a path. They fly around and prepare paths for men to follow. Are you listening? That's what part of stalking is all about. Stalking is making a plan. It's preparation to what you're fixing to do. And it takes consideration and thought and so forth to be able to go out and execute a plan successfully and undetected, or, you know, maybe not undetected, but maybe it'll take them a while to catch up with you. Because they have to wind through your little crooked path now to follow that path back to the originator of that crime or the thought. I want you to keep in mind tonight as you young converts are sitting here that you have enticers. Are you listening? Don't let stuff like it just slip over your mind. I don't mean to talk to you like you're stupid, but I've always tried to talk to people as if you were talking to children so the children can get it. But when you hear things like this, you're to think, man, I'm a young convert. I am a child in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's enticers enticing me. There's things out there that the enticers are going to put into my life. They may not be some kind of big act, but I tell you where it's going to start. It's going to start in your mind. Some kind of a thought.
Right.
And we had the testimony just the other day of your brother Sam, right? Did you tell it? He also called me and wanted to tell me that. One of you guys told me that. Sam wanted to call me and tell me that. As a young convert, he said that as he was sitting in church and he was hearing false doctrine, and one of the things I've always said that will cause a person to doubt is false doctrine. False doctrine will mess with your mind. That word of God being preached wrong will make you think that you're not saved. Well, he was listening to a preacher and the preacher spewed out some false doctrine, and then Sam began to think some thoughts in his mind. What if this? What if that? What if this? What if the other? And the thought crossed his mind, what if God wasn't real? Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you be honest and raise your hand tonight and say, I've had that same thought in my mind. What if this thing ain't even real? What if God's not even real? Well, there's about three or four honest people in here. They raised their hand. He said it wasn't long that he turned and Brother McVeigh was preaching. And Brother McVeigh was preaching over there where Jesus was tempted, am I right? Where Jesus was being tempted, and Satan tempted Jesus with the very thing that he tempted Sam with. He doubted God. He doubted the word of God. Isn't it amazing? And Sam said he just rejoiced that what happened to him happened to Jesus while being tempted of the devil. Now let me tell you something, friend. Jesus did not have to give in to that. And that was not tempting unto Jesus. But I'm going to tell you why Jesus was tempted to that, with that. Because one day Sam Asquith was going to be faced with the same thing. He was tempted at all points as we are, yet without sin.
Right.
If thou be the Son of God. He tempted Jesus for that. How can he not tempt you and I with that? Some of you young converts, what's he going to tempt you with? What thought is he going to put in your mind? Those thoughts will get in your mind and they'll just start wandering around. And I tell you what they're doing while they're flying around, they're finding you a path to unrighteousness. An avenue, a way to escape the godliness and holiness of a Christian life and be able to go out and live like hell and the devil and have justification for it. Oh, I've tried it. I've been there. I've made my professions. I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't real. And you got a path now to follow in those thoughts. There's a path. Oh, glory to God. Sam called me, and Michael, I believe, was the one that told me about it. And then Sam called me last week. He said he called me and missed me, and I called him and missed him. He called me back. We played phone tag back and forth. Finally, we got each other, and he was just rejoicing that sound doctrine cleared his heart. That's where the home of those thoughts are, in the heart. And he got his heart cleaned and cleared with good, sound doctrine preaching. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? So what is that, preacher? That's preaching that book line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Amen. Get a little bit over here, get a little bit over there, line upon line, precept upon precept. Man, that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. That's right.
Those serial killers have thoughts, and they grow and become a plan, and it worked over. Their plan worked over and over and over again. I mean, man, all the way from way up north around, what was it, Michigan, and all the way down to Florida State in Tallahassee, Florida. Ted Bundy's leaving a trail. Until somebody's seen a little Volkswagen. It's amazing, isn't it? We've been dealing with the heart for a couple of weeks out of Proverbs chapter 4. And we mentioned the evils that Jesus said, I believe in Mark chapter 7, that were in the heart. Those 13 evils. Guess what the first evil mentioned in the heart was? Evil thoughts. The first thing that Jesus labeled in Mark chapter 7 as being wrong in that heart, number one, first and foremost, was evil thoughts. Guess what came after evil thoughts? It did not come before the evil thoughts. It came after evil thoughts. Murders. After evil thoughts. Takes the evil thoughts to have murders. Adulteries. Fornication. Ungodly, all that stuff came out of that evil thinking. Evil thinking came first, and the blasphemies came next. Evil thinking, I tell you why people blaspheme, because they think blasphemous. That's what's in their heart, and that's what floats around in their mind. And if you ain't careful, blasphemies will enter into your mind, and those thoughts will entertain you, and the next thing you know, you'll be carrying out blasphemies. People say, I would never commit adultery. I would never commit adultery. I'm going to tell you something, what it takes to commit adultery, a thought. All it takes to commit adultery is a thought. That thought can get into your head, and if it's not dealt with properly, that thought can fly around and find a path, make access, find a route for you to take, and when it comes back, it will have a plan, and I promise you, it'll have a path for you to be able to do that. And it will entice you.
That's right.
When sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Nowhere did all the latter come from until first you have evil thoughts. You never see those other things before the evil thoughts. But oh, listen to me, if the spring is clean, the streams of life will be pure. If that old boy, that old spiritual spring gets clean, that out of it, the issues of life will flow. Cleanliness, pure springs, water of life, man. I tell you, life-giving springs. Hope to the hopeless, amen.
That's right.
Number two, the enticers from without are fellow men. Boy, we could go all day on the thoughts, but you get the gist. The enticers from without are fellow men. This is those that are astray from God themselves and are busy leading others after them. The servants of Satan are diligent and successful. Can I get a witness right there? The servants of Satan are diligent. You don't have to go far in this life, in this world, before you meet somebody willing to offer you some enticement. They call it peer pressure. For those that are in school, peer pressure. Let me tell you what that's called in the Bible. Enticers enticing.
That's right.
He said, consent thou not. The world is not for God. The whole world system and the world itself is not for God. Jesus said this, ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father ye will do. Now that's what they do. That's what enticers do. They do the work of their father. What's the work of their father? Enticing you. Enticing you to sin. It is Satan's ministry to entice everyone in this world away from godliness and into hell. Into a life of defeat and despondency, a life of discouragement, and ultimately into hell, all that he can. That is his ministry on this earth. Well, guess what all of his children's ministry is? All they are is just little workers of Satan. You're going to do the works of your father. That's what Jesus said. What is the words of his father? Leading people to hell. Enticing them. Enticing them to sin. Enticing them away from the things of God. Therefore, those that do his work are busy enticing all they can. They're busy. They're going to entice you every chance they get.
That's right.
The old saying goes like this, misery loves company. Put that another way, would be an evildoer has a craving for company. Evildoers don't like running alone. People sinning do not like to run alone. They love company. They love to drag other people in it with them. Yeah. It's rare that you'll meet a bank robber that goes in there by themselves. They want somebody with them. It's rare that you'll meet a junkie that's in business long, a dealer that's in business long that's in it by himself. He's always got a lot of other people around him. They don't want to just do it. These enticers ain't lone wolves, man. They're all about recruiting as many as they possibly can. So who are they recruiting? Everybody sitting in this building. Would you believe this, Miss Tanya? Hey, Eric, would you believe that they're already plotting a plan for Jesse? The little boy you got your hand on, the enticers is already setting up some enticements for him.
Right.
They're working a plan already. They're organizing a plan for that little boy's life. That little baby David over there. The enticers are already organizing a plan to drag him down, to entice him. It ain't going to be when he gets 13 and they're going to start working. No, friend. As soon as he's born, the devil is at work. He's setting up things. He's watching that little boy. He's learning that little boy's mannerisms and character and personality. And he is making a plan. And he will sow a seed in that mind one day to get that plan started. Sad, but true. Just think about the dangers that every youth faces. Listen to this. Every time one of those children are out of the reach of a mother or a daddy, think about all the potential dangers that they face. Brother Zach, if we got into it, people think I was a cult leader. But I'm telling you, the devils of hell have overtaken America. I'm telling you, Percy Ray preached it when? What year did he preach that? 1969, with the power of God on his life. The lion is out of the thicket. Talking about that devil-possessed, devil-infested America, how the devils of America, how the devils of hell just romp and roar. Hey, listen, Mama and Daddy, they're doing that even when they're in your possession, but think of the potential dangers when they're not with you. So scary. So dangerous. I'm not a paranoid person, but I can promise you one thing. It's dangerous. They didn't go to school today without the devil having a plan for their life. Mm-mm. He was there. The enticements is, most of them already deal with enticements already.
Right.
By the time a child is old enough to go to college or step into the world of work, there is a conspiracy organized against him. Already. It's orchestrated by spiritual wickedness, Carl, in high places. It's organized by spiritual wickedness in high places. It's carried out by those spirit, by that spiritual wickedness in high places. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, just, you don't have to believe me. Open your eyes and take a peek for yourself. Go down to your average, any, just close your eyes and take a peek. Any university across the country. And tell me that the devil ain't hard at work. Tell me they ain't orchestrated, spiritual wickedness hadn't orchestrated a plan. They've done infiltrated the places of higher learning. And now what they're taking in these schools where moms and dads has got some morals and some conservancy and things like that, some decency, some godliness. Those professors get into those schools now and try to destroy every bit of that. And that kid becomes an individual thinker now. And they come out of school a stinking liberal. Godless. Doubting that God's even real, leaning more toward evolution than they do creation. Say, what is it? It's a conspiracy. My dear God, taking those minds of higher learning and you're going to infiltrate that right there in those people's lives. And then now you're paying $60,000, $100,000 a year, $150,000 a year to go have this propaganda pumped into your head. What is it? It's enticements out of hell.
Right.
There's a whole plan set up for your child by the time they get out of the house and go on into their own life. There's a whole plan set up for them. Think about all that was going to come in contact with that child. Think about that. I know what we can do. We can push Adderall. We can take, and somebody said it the other day, we can take and get us some crystal meth, prescription. Just another form of crystal meth. And a doctor's the one that gave it to me. And that's what's setting all over our universities. That's the things that's coming in contact with them. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Think about the side effects of just Adderall alone. Killing initiative in a child's life. Killing creativity in a child's life. I'm glad Eli Whitney didn't know about Adderall. I'm glad Mr. Carver didn't know about Adderall. I mean, amen. Thank God for that one. I'm going to tell you what they're going to come in contact with. I'm going to tell you what we come in contact with, and especially even our children. I won't say especially, but even our children. A multitude of evildoers.
That's right.
Let me ask the two most recent. Since you've been saved, a little over a month, have you met anybody that's as excited about it as you? You don't have to answer. I know there ain't.
Right.
You're not going to meet people out there that's excited about you being born again. They might say a word or two that's kind, but it's rare that you'll ever meet somebody out there that's excited about you getting born again, passing from death unto life, and having the Spirit of Christ about them, and just rejoicing in the Lord and honoring God, and just, hey man, praising God for a while out there in the public. It's rare that you'll ever meet somebody like that. You say, why? Because there's a multitude of evildoers out there. I guarantee you one thing, you've met more evildoers than you have holy people. And that's you, Mom, and that's you, Dad. But you know who else it is? It's these little old kids that sit in here week after week. It's imperative that we train ourselves as children of God. And it's imperative that we train our children not to stand at ease in this world. Don't you stand at ease. So I talked another day. I was talking about another young man. And I was just like, boy, you need to be busy. Get your tail busy. You're young. You're handsome. Get busy. Stay busy. You say, well, I preach, I don't believe in that idle time. I don't believe in standing idly by. That old saying goes, out of mind is the devil's workshop. It may not be scriptural, but I sure do like it. That's a good saying, buddy.
That's right.
I tell you, when I do the best, Miss Holly, when I come in here about like what Carl said he come in here like, when I work up to the last minute, amen. Don't have no idle time, buddy.
That's right.
That's something that most people don't know anything about anymore. My God, they got so much free time, it's pathetic anymore. No wonder they're wicked as the devil. The moment you slumber, the Philistines is going to be on you.
That's right.
Say amen, Samson. You lay down and slumber a little while. I'll tell you what's going to come upon you, the Philistines. A bunch of enticers, a bunch of wicked, vile heathens. You can't slumber. That's an open door for the enemy to attack. That's an invite for him to come in. Get busy for God. Get busy for God. Pastor, I'm tired. No, you're lazy. Get busy for God. For God, my heaven's sakes, man. Isn't it amazing what we don't get lazy, tired about? I mean, carnal things, we don't get too tired, do we? It's amazing when it becomes spiritual how tired we get. It's amazing. Because we do everything in the energy of the flesh, but if we'd get in the Holy Ghost, Brother Zach, we'd get some energy.
That's right.
How could a man like Sammy Allen travel 49 weeks out of the year? He done it in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God done it with him. You can have Samson's strength, and yet they'll pluck out your eyes. You think you're strong? Them enticers will pluck your eyeballs out. They're going to find a way. You know what Samson didn't do? You know what he did do? He consented to the enticers. He didn't handle it right. He gave them some leeway. And they plucked his eyeballs out of his head and put him to work at the mill. Grinding at an old mean mill. Turned him into a slave. You think you're smart? You think you're too sharp for that to happen? Try to have Solomon's wisdom. The enticers will have you a woman.
Right.
There's not all of us combined put together times 10 that can match Solomon in his wisdom and knowledge. And this is what he said. He said, "How come the wise die like a fool?" Boy, he messed up. He messed up and died like a fool. Not above it, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to overcome it with our wits. We're not going to overcome it with our strength. We're not going to overcome it with our wisdom. We're not going to overcome it with our might. Sometimes people get too big for their britches. How many people have we seen that didn't start in the gutter, but they ended in the gutter? Nobody starts in the gutter. That's the path. That's where the path leads to. Nobody jumps from where they are straight into the gutter. They follow that little winding path. Those thoughts
went and created a path for them and came back to them and led them through that winding, crooked, perverted path to the gutters of life. Nobody ever done that. They followed the path.
Right.
But you know what? To start with, it didn't look like a gutter. If it had, they wouldn't have probably jumped in it. I said Sunday we need to weigh our paths. The number one way to weigh your path, ladies and gentlemen, that's with just weights and a just balance. What is that? That's the only thing that's just in this world. That's the only thing to weigh our paths. That's why he said, incline unto my words. Most of the time, the wrong path in life seems harmless. I mean, think about it. Seems harmless. A lot of the things that we get into, they seem harmless to start with. Ain't affecting nobody else. It's just me. It ain't that big of a deal. That's a wicked heart that says that right off the bat, anyhow. It seems harmless. Sometimes it can even seem right. God don't give a flip about right and wrong. He cares about holiness. What you might think is right, God might think is evil and wicked, and it ain't holy. Well, I'm right. God don't give a flip about that. He cares about holiness.
That's right.
Is it holy? Is it holiness to the Lord? No crook has ever taken millions from people by telling them how he was going to take millions from them. They don't do that. I said, nobody jumps from where they are straight into a gutter. They're enticed and led down this little winding, crooked path. And they end up in that gutter. I've met way too many people that, you know, I've met way too many people that was in the gutter of alcoholism, of drunkenness. And I've asked them, buddy, because I've been on the streets and I've been in the jails and I've been in the prisons and I've been in the rescue missions and I've been in the rehab. Hey, for years, that's where I spent my time preaching every week, several times a week in one of those ministries. And Ms. Holly, never did they ever tell me anything other than, man, it just started out with just a little bit. It just seemed so harmless. And the next thing I know, man, I've done lost my wife. I've lost my children. I've lost my job. I've lost my home. I've lost it all. And I'm over here in this rehab facility now. And you know who I was ministering to at the rehab facility? At Trinity's Rescue Farm. You know who I was ministering to? Christians. Preachers. Every one of them were professing preachers and Christians that got strung out on dope and strung out on alcohol and strung out on women and had messed up everything in their life, and they ended up over in a rehab facility that Trinity Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida owned. And they sent them over there and they raised pigs and they raised chickens and they raised goats and they raised corn and they raised squash and they raised all their food and they just lived right there self-sufficient, taking care of themselves. And Trinity would send preachers in over there to preach to them. And, Mama, you've been over there with me before. I've been over there and preached before with my mama and carried her one time. And every one of those guys were professing Christians and preachers. They were enticed, Brother Zach.
That's right.
Some of them might have been lost, but I venture to say that I doubt all of them was lost. Some of them was probably saved and got enticed. And you know what? They never saw themselves over there raising them pigs. They never saw themselves over there on the backside of absolutely nowhere. It's back there in nowhere land, man. I think that like Freddy Krueger and them be scared to go back in there. Those crooks like to take and deceive people, tell them promises. Man, that we're going to be able to do this, and I'm going to do that. And man, I tell you, it's going to, hey, I'm going to give you some false hope. I'm going to show you some things that look good. I've seen way too many crooks in action before, man, promising the world.
And you know what they end up doing? Taking people's money and running.
People buy into the lies.
What is that? They buy into the enticements. Maybe it was covetousness.
We're dealing with Rick Rose's daddy, you know,
a man that was a big-time millionaire, on a tremendous company, built that thing, and
his wife died, and it touched his brain,
and they go to Brother Rose's daddy, been living for God all of his life. And they tell him, look, if you'll give us this, we'll have a Mercedes-Benz sitting in your driveway come Friday. And he ended up giving them what they asked for and never did get that Mercedes-Benz. And time after time, Brother Zach, them enticers came to that man and promised him things, and that covetousness overtook that man.
And instead of him saying, you know what, I'm happy with what the Lord's given, you know what he's done? He's lost his company. He's lost everything he owns. Now Rick Rose is trying his dead-level best to keep him from losing his home.
Brother Rose has took care of his finances. Where the man, and you know what he does? He goes there, walks down there to the bank and signs loans for $5,000. And Brother Rick is legally the overseer of his finances. And Brother Rick would have to legally sign those papers. The bank don't care. They know him. He's good for it. They give him the money. He takes and gives it to the crooks. He's being scammed. And they keep promising him bigger things and better things. And man, it's coming, but we need $5,000 more. And he's biting every bit of it instead of going, hey, we're just going to take you for everything you have. If they told him that, we're going to put you in the gutter, buddy. He might say, you know what, I better stop this. But no, they keep promising things.
And the man's lost well over $1 million. He's lost every truck that he owned. He's lost his business. He's lost all of his farm equipment, his tractors, everything. Brother Rick had to go in there and take a tractor and sell it underneath his daddy before his daddy could take and give it away. They bought one tractor over there, I think, for like $1,200. A 20-something thousand-dollar tractor. They gave him $1,200 for it, thinking he was going to get a bigger closed cab John Deere in his barn. That's what enticers do, ladies and gentlemen. You say, man, I'm above that. No, you're not above that.
Right.
Them little thoughts that they can put in your mind, them thoughts, man, if they're not dealt with, they will grow and turn into a plan for you. What do we do? How do we handle it? I may not get no further than this tonight because I want to give a remedy to this. Watch the beginnings of evil in your life. Watch the beginnings of evil because it will have a beginning if it ain't nothing but a little thought. Hold that thought up to the Word of God and see if it be evil. 9 times out of 10, you know right off the bat things are wrong. But if you're uncertain about it, hold it up to the Word of God.
Right.
When you're in a position, ladies and gentlemen, to make a decision and you don't know what to do, whether you should or whether you shouldn't or whether you shouldn't or whether you should, listen to me, don't do a stinking thing. Until God gives you the green light, you can hold that situation up to the Word of God, and God will give you a red light or a green light. And whatever He gives you, take that and walk away. Here's what God says about it, Matthew 26:41. Jesus said, watch and pray. Why? Why do I watch and pray? That you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You better watch.
What else do I do, preach? Better pray. You know what Brother Joe Parsons said one time? He said that out of all those little children homes, they got all kind of children homes all over the United States. And he said if it hadn't have been for God leading him, that they would have hired pedophiles on several occasions. To work inside those Christian orphanages.
Isn't that something? They had little orphanages all over the United States that they planted.
It took in little orphans, Miss Stephanie. And Brother Joe said if it wasn't for the Spirit of God, how did the Spirit? Through prayer. Man, Brother Joe, and everybody that would come in there and put in a resume or put in for a job, Brother Joe would take it to the Lord in prayer, and God would give him a red light. And come to find out, ladies and gentlemen, that person was ended up being a pedophile. Brother Joe thought, oh, dear God, if I hadn't obeyed that in prayer, the Spirit of God would never have been able to show me that.
That's right.
He said, time and time again, different people, different places. You say, what is that, preacher? That's watching and praying. I'm a very critical person. I usually start out thinking about the worst. And people start winning favor. I usually start out thinking, man, they're sorry, they're no good, they're, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then over a period of time, either they prove me right or they win favor. And I go, you know what? It's a pretty good old boy. So what is that? Just being careful. But before I lay hands on any man suddenly, I'm just watching and praying. Just watching and praying. Not laying hands on any man suddenly. I, for one, believe that we develop patterns in our life. We're creatures of habit. I know that. He goes right along, Brother Zach, what Brother Sammy always said. Today's fornicators are tomorrow's adulterers.
Right.
Those are patterns that you set. When does that quit? See, here's what happens when you're fornicating. Finally, you get hooked up with this old girl and you take her hand in marriage and you go down that aisle. Before you know it, those enticers are going to show up in that fornicator's life, which is now married, and he's going to put those enticing thoughts in his mind. And those thoughts, if not dealt with properly, will fly around until they find an avenue and make a plan for him to meet another woman somewhere down the road. And they will have a plan worked out for him. It'll be set up for him. He may have to do some maneuvering, but that evil enticement will show him what moves to make. Will show him what moves to make. That's why so many people have infiltrated inside of our little small country backwood churches and infiltrated and destroyed lives. And they've worked the system and they've worked their mouth. How did they do that? Those wicked enticements showed them the plan. Set things up for them, Brother Zach. And they were able to maneuver their way into what they was after.
That's right.
Last week I was talking to a young man about divorce, a total stranger. But keep in mind that his testimony is he's lost. I've asked him if he was saved, and he's told me no. But he told me what he can see is that these people or these couples, they have patterns of going together, my boyfriend. That's my girlfriend. And we raise our children in an environment where this is the way it is. I am the kind of person that thinks, hey, you know what? It's natural for girls to like boys and for boys to like girls. That's natural. But we start pushing the natural into the supernatural wickedness of going together. Because here's what happens, girls. We get a boyfriend and we hit some bumps in the road and we break up. And so we rebound and we get us another boyfriend or girlfriend, vice versa. And we hit some bumps in the road. Maybe she, you know, talks too much on the date or whatever. And he says, I'm breaking up. And he breaks up. Maybe she can't talk right. Maybe she says white like white and, you know, light like light. And instead of bright, it's bright. You know, and he's going, I can't deal with that. I just can't pull up that country bumpkin. I'm breaking up for her. And it's a pattern that people do. Over the silliest, minutest things, people have hang-ups and catch-ups because most of us anymore is just a bunch of stinking, spoiled little brats that's had everything handed to us and always have, you know, things our way. And when some kind of little hiccup in a relationship doesn't go our way, it's a breakup, not a hiccup.
And boys and girls have 50 breakups before they get married. Boys and girls have 50 breakups before they get married. Some of them include sex. Some of them breakups are sexual. 2, 3, 4, 10 of those relationships out of 50 are intimate. Now here all of a sudden they find somebody that they just fall in lust with, and man, I can't say what I'm thinking, but you know, it's a little bit of sure thing that, man, I can, you know, and I, you know, I can live with her. She looks good, and man, she can kiss good, and boy, he's got some money, and he's a little debonair, and next thing you know, them thoughts start crossing your mind because there's little bumps in the road. Instead of breaking up, people divorce now. Patterns. I believe we develop patterns in our life. It's one of the reasons why you've heard me say it many times that them little girls out there on that football field shaking them pom-poms, and I'm sitting there going, when you going to stop that, Mom?
That's right.
When you going to cut that off, Dad? She's shaking them pom-poms out here at 7 years old. What's going to stop her from shaking them pom-poms in the back seat of a car at 16 years old? Patterns. Good luck. Good luck at stopping what you started now, because it's 10,000 worlds easier to say no than to say I quit and to quit. As hard as it is to say no, it's easier to say no than to quit. Can I say divorce is only one of the multiplied Google enticements that's out there? Is that the way you say it?
I have no idea.
When you start stacking Googles on top of each other, you don't went as far that way as you can go with them numbers. Now you're going to start stacking them on top of each other. Divorce is only one Google of those. Just one of those numbers in that Google. Millions and millions and billions and trillions upon trillions. Are you listening? I'm not exaggerating this. It's trillions upon trillions upon trillions of enticements out there for you and I. We can't even begin to name them all. There's going to be some that's invented. Hey, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. They're going to be coming up with some weird new stuff that we've never even dreamed of. Enticements. Now, I don't want to be a legalist, and I don't want nobody to get mad at me. But do you think any man today in the last 50 years has built a single theater in America to promote godliness? Nah. If any of them was stupid enough to do that, to build a theater that promoted godliness, they would be out of business by the end of the month, because the world don't want that. The world don't want that. And hey, can I be honest with you? There ain't enough church people that's right with God to keep that in business, because even the church people like some of the... Everybody goes to the movies, ain't a bunch of heathens. Some of them come out of a church. But what I'm saying, Miss Stampy, is the same theater that you sit your children down in and watch Mickey Mouse is the same exact room and theater that you can go to next week, and there'll be a naked woman on that screen with a naked man in a bed that is not theirs.
Right.
Theatrical enticements. Entertainments of this world. These movie companies will make children movies. And they're clean. Harmless, aren't they? They're innocent. That's a decent little path to trot. Just stop and think for a second. That may be true. But on top of making money, Ms. Holly, they don't want to just make money off of these children while they're little kids enjoying Mickey Mouse. What they're doing is building a pattern in their life for the rest of their life to continue to go back and back and back and back to this place of entertainment, this place of theatrics, and enjoy the entertainments and the amusements. And it's going to go from Mickey Mouse to something filthy. And because, Brother Zach, that pattern has been developed, and little by little we've become adapted to this. Hey, listen to me. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Instead of puking or shooting the TV. I got to shoot something tonight. Instead of shooting the TV screen with that blasted 12-gauge, they justify watching that woman without her top on HBO.
That's right.
I've had men to look at me and tell me, I carried some kids home. We had a little thing at our church one night. I carried all the kids to a four-wheel drive show, and I had to carry some of the kids home. And their daddy was a deacon in my church. A cigarette-sucking, God-hating deacon. And I pulled those two kids up in their driveway. It's about 11 o'clock at night. The truck show had unended, and I'm taking the kids home. I got to their driveway, and I could look through the living room window, and there was a nude sex act going on with my deacon sitting there on the couch watching it. You know what I've had people say to me? Man, y'all come on and help me, like, oh, that stuff don't bother me. I have literally had men to tell me, that stuff don't even faze me. And I've looked at those men, and I'm not a tough guy, but I've looked at those men and said, there's one or two things, old boy. You're either, y'all know what I'm about to say. You're either a liar or you're a fag. And even if you're a fag, that affects you. And if you're a liar, that affects you. But they have said, and hey, listen, hey, let me tell you something. I'd rather be a liar. Let's get that straight real quick. God help us. I'd rather be a liar, Brother Zach, than for that not to affect me. Because if it doesn't affect you, you're so calloused, I don't know if God can penetrate that old seared conscience anyhow. That's a seared conscience, boy. That don't bother you, that's a seared conscience. If that don't bring you under Holy Ghost conviction, that don't trouble your soul, if that don't just absolutely defeat you in God, that's a seared conscience. I'd rather be a liar than to have a seared conscience. Let's leave it at that. I can't explain anything other than that. Habits. Let me ask you a question, because I can tell you're already getting bored. Let me ask it this way. Instead of preaching against it, let me ask you. Let me put the ball in your corner. Have you got time for theatrics? Have you got time for the theater? Have you got time for the entertainment of this world? Hey, listen, man, there's things that you can do. Don't misunderstand me. There's things that you can do that it's fine and dandy. I'm not just saying, hey, you have to sit at home all the time. I don't believe in sitting at home all the time. I believe that there's some things that you can do. I'm asking a question. Do you have time for the theaters? Let me ask you this then. Let me ask you this. When are you going to die? Anybody got a time and a date when they're going to die? Does anybody know that you're going to live past tonight? Anybody? You got time for the things of this world? If you are especially lost, you have no time to be entertained. No time to be entertained. For God's sakes, wake up out of your sleep. Get out of that lukewarm deadness. Get out of that awful condition. If you're lost, you don't have time to be entertained. You're going to hell. Let's go get entertained. I'm going to hell. How stupid can you be? Am I okay? Is that about the stupidest ration? I mean, does that even make sense? That I'm going to hell, but I'm consumed with the world.
Don't make sense to me. You're lost.
You're going to hell. You need to cut that stupid junk out. You need to pursue after God.
You need to hit that closet somewhere and beg God to hang you over hell. You never prayed hard over a stinking thing in your life. But your soul is in the balances. And you better learn how to get a hold of God and beg God. God, hang me over hell.
Well, I know the theaters ain't your pet peeve.
If you're saved, you're to be about your Father's business. Because you got friends and loved ones and family that's going to hell. And I'm not saying you can't have fun and leisure and recreation in your life. But I'll tell you one thing. When that stuff captivates your heart over the things of God, you've messed up. You have give place to the enticements. And it'll suck you in, and you will be sucked in like a vortex, man, under a greater power than you ever dreamed of being under. And you can't get out. How much time do you spend reading books? Oh, this is 2022. We don't read anymore. We say we read, but we listen to books. Cheaters. A bunch of stinking cheaters. That's a lazy way out. Ain't that lazy? I read a book. No, the flip you didn't. You listened to a book. You didn't read nothing. You're too lazy to read. You say, preacher, why would you say that? Because some of us, believe it or not, building ourselves up in the most unholy faith is our hang-up. Knowledge puffeth up. And if it wasn't for knowledge, we wouldn't have a pot to piss in half of us.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. You say, preacher, why would you get on this stuff? Because it needs to be got on. Because all those books you read, how many of them is going to get you out of hell? That's why I do what I do, Miss Stephanie. Pippi Longstocking ain't getting you out of hell. Dr. Snotbritches ain't going to get you out of hell. Dr. Psychiatrist ain't going to get you out of hell. Dr. Jesus, out of the blessed word of God, that's the book we ought to read. That's the book we ought to read. That's the one we ought to be tearing the pages apart. That's the one we ought to be wearing out. That's the one we ought to be excited over. That's the one we ought to bear ourselves in. That's the one we ought to be excited to talk about.
That's right.
That ain't how it is, Uncle Carl. And people dying and going to hell worried about some other stupid book. Listen to me. Every book outside of the Bible as a lost man is stupid. You're stupid to waste your time on that stuff. Did you hear that? You're dumber than nine box of rocks for wasting your time on a book outside the Bible if you're lost. Because you're lost. You have no time to waste. You don't have a minute to waste. It doesn't matter what you learn. At the great white throne judgment, you're going to learn something else. It's all for naught. You're going to hell.
Right.
Enticements. I personally like to read. I like to read a good book. Reading a good book right now.
I'm reading two good books. One is extremely good, and it's called the Holy Bible, the 1611 King James Bible. And I tell you, Miss Steve, that's where we ought to be. I mean, our souls is in the balance. Our neighbor's souls is in the balance. Our family's soul is in the balance. My dear God, the only thing that's going to deliver any of it is what thus saith the Lord. It's the only hope we've got.
Right.
Not against reading books, but I'm against reading stuff that ain't Bible. Amen. If you're not saved. And I don't give a flip if you are saved. If it don't line up with that book, it ain't doing you a bit of good.
Right.
Man. Whatever psychology is in this world, if it doesn't line up with that book, I wouldn't pee on that book if it was on fire. Just wouldn't. You're going to hell. Your friends is going to hell. Your loved ones is going to hell. Why do you think Jesus said to redeem the time? He didn't say waste time. Better redeem the time. You see how subtle, how flowery, how twisted these enticements and these little paths are? There's book clubs. People can gather and brag about reading their books. Not going to do any good at the great white throne judgment. Not going to do any good when they meet their maker. I'm not against books. But let's do the first things first. How about that? Wouldn't that be wise to do the first things first? Wouldn't that be the wise thing to do? First things first. Wouldn't you want your children to grow up and take care of the first things first? Why don't we as parents learn to do the first things first? What's first, Pastor? Jesus. Let's do Jesus first. Let's take care of Jesus first. Amen. Let's let Him have the preeminence. Let's give Him the throne. Let's make Him the focal point. Let's make Him the theme. Hey, let Him be our melody. Let Him be our words. Let it be about Him. Hey, man, you want to impress me? Get an insight on the Word of God. Man, you want to impress God? Humble yourselves. Study to show yourselves approved unto God. Wonderful. Seems harmless enough, don't it? Don't that kind of stuff that I've mentioned seem harmless? There's trillions upon trillions of them. They seem very harmless. But they're very harmful when it's keeping you from seeing God.
Right.
See how harmful it becomes? It's the, man, I've wasted 2 hours over here today. Wonder what God could have done in my life. Wonder what God could do if I gave that 2 hours to Him. And go give God 30 seconds of a little bedtime prayer. Rush through a little devotion. Push God on out of the way, but we did our chore. What an evil path. What an evil, twisted, perverted path. My dear God. Jesus said to watch and pray. I'll read you this and shut up. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11 said, be sober. I'm giving you how to deal with it. Be vigilant because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you, listen, perfect. He's going to establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know what we need to do, young converts? We need to get established, strengthened, and settled. Amen. How do you do that? You be sober. You be vigilant. Praise God. You resist the devil.
Right.
That's what that book just said. And God will strengthen you. God will establish you. And God will settle you. Amen. Thank God for that. That word sober means, well, let me go off the deep end. Number one, it means not intoxicated. I want to throw that in there. Then it means grave. It means serious. It means implying a serious mind or purpose. We ought to be serious about this thing, friend.
But we take it way too light. Not serious. Vigilant, wakeful and watchful, keeping steadily on alert, attentively or closely observant. Hey, folks, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this is how you overcome these enticements. James 4, 7 through 8 said, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Listen to what he's saying. Draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto thee. Ain't that amazing? Isn't it a miracle? Resist the devil. Hey, you know what that means? That means don't tiptoe around. That means don't make no big long ado. That means be short, be rude, and be to the point. Look at him and with this big old whopping word and say, no! That's what that means.
Right.
No! I told you, I said, I've looked at myself in the mirror before when them enticements is upon me. Like an idiot, stand there and look at myself in the mirror and go, no!
Right.
Look yourself in the eyes and just go, no! That's resisting him. So you don't have to have no long drawn out story and explanation. It's just flat out no. Just like a mama does her child. Mama, can I go to the mall with her? No. Why, mama? Because I said so. Amen. Hey, devil. When sinners entice thee, consent thou not. What does that mean? Say no and stand on that. Stand right there. Don't tiptoe. Don't be polite. If you're polite, you're going to give him another avenue. Just be rude. Go ahead and hurt his feelings. Be as blunt and straight and sharp and short as you can. And tell him no. You resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Then draw nigh to God. Preacher, how do I do that? Put the world down. Crawl off somewhere and stick your face in that book. Amen. And meditate on the things of God. And I promise you one thing. You get stuck in that book right there, man, you'll just get to draw nigh unto him. You know what he'll do? He'll turn the lights on and draw nigh unto you.
Amen.
You know, Brother John talks about getting a truth. He talks about moving that machine across that warehouse floor. They thought it couldn't be done. And he went in one morning or was stayed late one day, whatever. Anyhow, he went in when there wasn't nobody else there. And he got him a piece of pipe that had the right amount of leverage to it. And he took that pipe and stuck it underneath that machine and moved that machine, he said, a quarter inch at a time. A quarter inch at a time. And he just stayed with it. He stayed steadfast, Miss Stephanie. And by the time everybody came in, he'd done had that machine moved all the way across that warehouse to where they was wanting to put it. And it taught Brother John a biblical principle. Just a quarter inch at a time. Just a quarter inch at a time. We're not trying to leap tall buildings in a single bound. But if we can just get a quarter inch at a time. I tell you, that's drawing nigh to God. And you know what he'll do? I'm telling you, by a quarter inch of your movement, God will draw nigh to you.
That's right.
You draw nigh to him. Amen. He'll handle that stuff for you. Just like he did Jesus when he had to fight the devil and face the devil and go up on them mountains and deal with him and all those temptations. He'll help you become be an overcomer. You know what the devil done? He resisted the devil. Amen. He drew nigh to God. How did he do that? By quoting that word. And God drew nigh to him. You know what happened? The devil had to flee. He come back later on. And done the same thing again. God hadn't changed. You know what? You can make him flee today. You might come back tomorrow. But the same God that delivered you today will deliver you tomorrow.
That's right.
Just keep on keeping on. Amen. You young converts, I got you in my mind thinking about this stuff. Man, there's no telling what he might bring your way and thoughts he might put in your mind and enticements he might put in your path. Baby, I'm going back as far as you and Amber. Be strong in the Lord.
Right.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Right.
Man.
Amen. Michael, put on that whole armor that you'll be able to stand. When you come home from work, out of facing all the enticements that a working man has to face, you can come home and open that door, look your wife in the eyes, and have the joy and the peace of God in that home.
Amen.
Say why, preacher?
Because we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us.
Man. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for the encouragement of the Word of God, the instruction of the Word of God. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to hide it in our hearts. Lord, we love You and we thank You and pray that You'd use it for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.